Northwick Jackson. Good cross. Oh, it's a brilliant goal from Jesse Lingard. Fabregas. And it's Diego Costa. Still Diego Costa. 1-1 Diego Costa.
Late drama here. Diego Costa rescuing the point for Chelsea. It finished 1-1 at Stamford Bridge. 17 attempts for Manchester United. That's the most they've had in an away game this season. Possession-wise, very level. Chelsea with 14 more touches in the opposition area. It finished 1-1 between these two giants, though, and back at Stamford Bridge, he was the man of the match, along with United's goalscorer. What a stunning goal that was. Both are with Jesse Reeves.
Jesse, Juan, it was a fantastic match, but when you concede late on, does it feel like a defeat?
Yeah, yes. I think we played very good football, to be honest. Coming here to Stamford Bridge and playing the football that we played in the first 30 minutes and then in the second half as well. And we had it so close, but at the end, Chelsea is always trying to push, trying to create chances, and they scored a late goal and we didn't have any time to try to come back.
Jesse, do you echo that frustration?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we played, you know, majority of the game well. What's conceded later on is like a defeat. But, you know, we've got to move on to the next game now.
It looked like your goal had won it for you. Tell us, how good did that feel and how good was that? Could you have struck it any better?
No. It was just the instinct to turn and hit. You know, I'm glad that it went in. But it was the 3 points that we wanted at the end of the day.
Is it just all clicking right now under Louis van Gaal?
Yeah, I think we're playing, you know, a lot better now. You know, as a team spirit, you know, as a collective group, we're doing well.
What's changed, Juan?
Well, results. Yeah, obviously, when you win and when you play good football, the confidence is back. And I think we're showing now that we can play high-level football. We can play attractive football, offensive football, and that's what we're trying to do because it's what we're... our fans want to see, so we try our best in every game, and I think the last 3-4 games we play really, really good.
Speaking of fans, what did you make personally of the ovation you got from the Chelsea fans?
Yeah, always special and always grateful. I spent 2.5 great years here and they were amazing for me since the first day, and it's always special to play here, and well, really, really appreciated and really grateful.
OK, well, for his goal and all-round performance, Jesse picked up the Barclays Band of the Match. Would you do the honours and pass it over, please? In fact, I got that completely wrong. It's yours. No wonder you look surprised.
There you go, Juan.
Thank you.
That might get mentioned a few times, I think.
Cheers, boys.
Yes, Jeff.
Don't worry about that.
It certainly will, particularly with him in the studio. Right, let's go look at the two goals, starting with the United goal. How good was it from Jesse Lingard, Thierry?
Listen, first and foremost, we need to start with the start. That's what people work on in training. You want to free the guy that's good in the air. They did it. Fellaini gets the ball, and what you do after that, you have to show support. Michael Carrick does that ever so well in getting to the field. Martial get that ball, support from Juan Mata, overlap from Bothwick Jackson, deflection from Rooney, and what a goal. What a finish. But you have everything that you want to see from a team at the moment that's playing really well. And a bit lucky there, but that's nothing to do with luck. That is a great goal and a great finish.
How difficult a skill is that on the turn?
It is very difficult, but especially now, because he's about to lose his balance, and to keep it on target and well on target, there's nothing to do there. That's the only thing you can do to beat Courtois today. That was the only thing they could do.
You liked plenty that Manchester United did at that point, didn't you?
I thought they were fabulous. They retreated a bit at 1-0 and were hanging on. I mean, give credit to Chelsea as well. They upped the tempo a bit. Never see die attitude, so they'll think they deserve something from the game. But it was Man United. They were the best team for the largest part of that game.
Will they be kicking themselves, therefore, the way the equalisers conceded?
Yeah, the temptation, you know, when you've got the one goal, is to take a step back.
But for me,
a step forward.
Graham, the pie has to do way better. It can be a 2-0, and it doesn't even track back.
See, at that point, Man United players have tried to commit people forward, so they're not quite in their positions, and they're always chasing it to get back into positions then. But this is, you know, this is all about the pass from Fabregas. It's such a cute and clever pass. What is John Terry doing up there? Only he knows. Like Bothwick Jackson plays him when it ultimately happened. This little pass coming up from Fabregas here. That's cute. But Bothwick Jackson's playing everyone on side here.
I think what created a bit of confusion, a lot of confusion, is John Terry being there. So Daley Blind doesn't know what's behind him. He doesn't know what Costa is. Now the run of John Terry about now, going to free Diego Costa. And I know Beaufort Jackson does ever so well to come back, but he plays in onside.
But see, there, Beaufort Jackson has to come in.
Yes.
And Ivanovic.
But John Terry does create
Martial's
confusion.
Martial's walked off. That would have allowed, if Martial had come and got Ivanovic,
but
it would have allowed Beaufort Jackson to get over
if
to
you are defending
Costa.
There, would you like better to have John Terry having the ball outside of the box or Diego Costa having it in a 1v1? I would have stayed with my line. Have it, John Terry, try to see if he can score
Blint
from 25 yards.
Blint doesn't know Costa's
there. No,
he doesn't. He doesn't. Look, it's 2-1 at this moment in time.
Well, he touches him
out,
in a way.
He's going out, but he thinks someone else is with him. That should not happen. For me, Martial's got to pick Ivanovic up, which would allow Beaufort Jackson to go.
But great ball from Fabregas, that has to be said.
Let's stop there for a moment, because you remember what happened this time last week, the announcement from John Terry. This will be interesting. He's with Jeff Shreves.
John, is the draw a fair result?
I think so, probably. You know, looking at both halves, probably. They started well the first half. Thought second half, as the game went on, I thought we grew into it. Disappointed to go a goal behind, actually. But great response again. We've shown that great character as well since the manager's come in. It's good to see.
How strong do you feel you should have had a penalty in the first half?
Yeah, it was going in, wasn't it, I think. You know, he's put his hands up. They're difficult ones for the referee, but inside the box, it's going in. It's got to be a pen for me.
Being honest, though, as a defender, would you have argued strongly if it was the other way around?
Yeah, all day.
What does a point for you do in this situation? What is that for Chelsea right now?
Well, to be honest, we need to start winning games. We're kind of in and around that mid-table, and teams are kind of dropping points in and around us. So we need to start winning and kind of getting out of it. We ran on a good early run, but of late we're just drawing too many games. So, listen, they're a good side. They're in a good bit of form as well. So it's not a bad result, but ideally we need to start winning.
Also, for you personally, first game at the Bridge since you were asked about your future. What was that like for you today?
Yeah, incredible. Listen, for me, the best fans in the world. What they've done and given for me as a young 14 and 17-year-old boy, I'll never forget. Memories will live with me forever.
It seems as though, well, Gus Hiddink indicated it might possibly change. You might have gone a bit soon, or is it definitely it? Definitely no chance of you getting a new contract?
It's a difficult one, Jeff. You know, the club's the most important thing. There's no communication between myself and the club at the minute. And, you know, I said what I had to say. That's how it was. But listen, more importantly, as I said before, we need to start winning football matches, getting up the table where we should be. We're disappointed to be where we are in the league. But as I say, the fans have been brilliant, stuck with us through thick and thin. Champions League kicks in as well, so games are coming thick and fast, so we must improve.
Are you open to dialogue, though? Would you there like to be communication between you and the club? Could it change?
I made it very clear I wanted to stay.
And nothing's changed from your point of view?
No, not as yet.
John, thanks for talking to us.
Jeff, thank you.
Well, that's very interesting indeed. A clearly emotional John Terry, saying at the end there he wants to stay. Before that, your reaction to what he said there? No communication between himself and the club.
Yeah, well, there has to have been somewhere. Maybe John's people have tried to engage them in talks and they've said, no, thank you. And John's people, and John has taken that as a complete rejection. I don't know. We can only guess at that. But I come back to, I cannot believe John Terry won't be here next year. There's no, for all the, I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't want him here, but I can think of lots of good reasons.
But if he was going to stay,
surely
there'd be communication. Yeah. Particularly after what was said this time last week.
Yeah. It's now just turned February. This is what I think's happened. It's turned February. John is coming to the end of his contract. He's playing well. Every bit as good as any other defender and maybe anyone on his team. It's not been a great season, but that's not because of John Terry. And I think maybe he's got his people to make contact with whoever deals with the contracts at Chelsea. And they're under instruction, not yet. And I have to believe, as a football person, if it's solely down to football, John Terry has to be here. And look at him again today. Nothing wrong, solid, leader. And he wants to be here. It's not as if he wants to go somewhere else. He wants to be here. And I come back to it. You can go and spend all the money you want. You can go and spend 50, 60 million pounds and go and buy the very best centre-half out there. But he is not going to come into the Chelsea dressing room and be the same influence. He might give you the same as what you got on the pitch, but he's not going to give you what John Terry gives you in the dressing room. What he has, he's got a reputation, he's got credibility, which has been built up over the 15 years he's been in the first team. That does not happen overnight when you go and buy an expensive player. That player has to earn those stripes, no matter how much he costs. It would be a mistake at every level for me if you get rid of John Terry at this football club.
Thierry, your take on it?
I just don't understand how you can leave a man like that in the dark. How can you not actually sit with him and talk and tell him, OK, maybe we didn't find a deal for you yet, or I can see you in a month, let's see it again. Or, but the way it's talking at the moment, it seems that there is no communication. And as soon as he said what he said last week, Chelsea were pretty quick to say, no, we are open to discussion. I think Chelsea, or whoever is dealing with that situation, didn't expect the reaction that the fans were going to have, or we were going to have, or the world of football in bracket that care about Chelsea and John Terry would have. And it's the right one. It has to be here. It doesn't matter. I don't think that the guys that they try to buy, or the guys that they are going to buy, is going to have the same type of influence that he is having at the moment. And you talk about the game of today. At the very end of the game, he was trying to spark stuff on the left-hand side, right-hand side, on the goal, is in the middle of the box. Nobody knows why. His desire is there, and he's been showing that desire for Chelsea for a very long time. I cannot understand why you are keeping that guy in the dark. Doesn't make sense.
If it's just solely down to football, and if they think at 35, you know, it's time for him to leave, what the people who are making the decisions at this football club have to take on board? John Terry, I would imagine, is the main man in that dressing room, would be well-liked in that dressing room. He's the go-to guy with problems. If he's being treated shabbily, if they're saying, that's it, we're pulling the curtain down, we don't want to speak to you, we don't want to negotiate, we don't want to enter into any sort of dialogue whatsoever, other people in that dressing room will think, they can do that to John Terry, next up it'll be me. It's a very dangerous road to go down. You've got to, well, if it is John's time to go, you've got to let him exit with some dignity and let him, you know, hold his head up high, and there's a mutual respect going out the door, if that's what it comes to. But you can't just pull the curtain down on someone who was a main man at this club long before the present owner came here. And the respect he has throughout this club, on the terraces, in the dressing room, will be enormous.
Haven't we seen this before, though? I mean, Frank Lampard's situation wasn't entirely different, was it?
Well, I think Frank wouldn't have been as big a personality in the dressing room. You know, Frank was
a bigger legend.
Frank was a midfield player. You know, defenders play longer. And the type of player John Terry is, if we come back to it, you know, Frank was a box-to-box player, getting goals. That's good. Your legs are going to go. That's a big ask of anyone 34 onwards. John Terry at 35, who plays with his brain every bit as much as he plays with his physical presence, I think it's a different story. You can talk about them being equal in terms of influence, but the position he plays, John is still life in them. And it would be a mistake on every front.
But all of this, is you talk about Lampard and Terry, comes back to something we talked about earlier on, isn't it? These big characters and big players, as you call them.
I think
Arsenal lost.
I think
those
for
legends
me,
and the effect of that, that's potentially...
It doesn't really matter about your legs or not your legs. It's a bit better if you can go out there and perform
around the club.
Yes, every week in, week out. But we saw a guy in the stand today, and obviously we saw his team that he had before, Man United and Sir Alex Ferguson. At the very end, Ryan Giggs wasn't playing all the time. Scholesy wasn't playing all the time. Gary Neve wasn't playing all the time. And I'm not going to name all those guys. But they suddenly were not playing like they used to play before. But they were in a dressing room. They could speak to guys. And we were talking to... I was talking to Graham, and he was actually telling me that he learned more about playing about old players and senior players, in the team than from his manager. So that's what we're talking about. When Graham Giggs is going to talk to, although he's not a left footer, but he's going to talk to Martial about your movement, about going in behind, about crossing the ball early, about what it is to play in the Premier League. Paul Scholes talking to guys that are playing in midfield, to Carrick, teach them the game. Gary Neve talking to Raphael when Raphael was playing right back. That's what it is. Yeah, you're not playing anymore, but you are United. So you are Chelsea if you're John Terry. You need to be around. Unfortunately, we saw what happened with Kurt Zouma, and we were talking about him. Maybe he might have been the future and John Terry needed to guide him. But you need that guy around. For me, at a certain
point... So let's ask the question, why it's happening then? Why has it come to this? Could this simply be a situation where a new manager wants his own man, wants a new captain, and that's a decision that's already been made?
He can have a new captain, but John Terry has to be around. Because it's difficult to still be the captain if you don't start every game.
He could
right?
still be around here. Could you really envisage that?
For I think if you sit down and talk to him.
Yes. Give him a plan.
If
right?
you're a new manager, you would want John Terry. I can't see anyone coming in and saying, before I come in and take up my position, I want John Terry out the door. For sure, he will be a very strong person in that dressing room. But the first person you speak to is John Terry. And say, look, John, this is my thinking. I've got my eye bringing maybe another central defender in. I don't think you play much, but you're my man. You're going to be that man in the dressing room for me. And treat him with respect. Because if you spent, 17 years he's been here?
Yes,
yeah, so he made his debut at 17. Yeah. You got to show him respect. You got to treat. And if it is his time up, if people further up the ladder have decided it is time for him to go, let him go where there's a bit of, you know, dignity and respect on from both sides.
We touched the point before for me. Whatever manager is going to come, new owner, new head director, or whatever it is, this is his club. And I mentioned it the other day on Daylight Day. Some players do have a pass at certain club. He has one. So make sure you talk to him, you give him a plan, and he said it himself, he wants to stay, and for me, he has to stay in this club.
Disappointment and frustration for Louis van Gaal at the final whistle. His team were on the attack at the time. But strong words with the fourth official, and he's now with Jeff Shreeks.
Louis, what did you make of that?
Yeah, I think we played a superb game till the last quarter. And then we didn't keep the ball, or we don't play the attack at the way that I think that we have to do. Yeah, and then unlucky, we get a goal against us. It's unbelievable. We don't reward ourselves.
What do you put that drop off to? Lack of focus, concentration?
No, it is also because of Chelsea is pushing with long balls and more aggression. But nevertheless, you have to keep the ball. And you have to be composed when you defend also. You have to be composed, that you're not kicking the ball away without any meaning. And there were a lot of times that I think you can control the ball and play the ball. And also, we could have scored also in after the first goal, I think. But you don't reward yourself when you play such a game against a fantastic team like Chelsea. Yeah, you have to reward yourself.
Is your feeling now one of annoyance or deep frustration?
Deep frustration, because we were the better team and we didn't win. Again, we didn't win. And we had the chances and we didn't win.
What could you have done better for the equaliser?
For the equaliser, I've explained, I think, 2 minutes to you.
In terms of just kicking the ball away?
In terms of that also with defensive organization, you have to be composed. And when you can control the ball, you have to control the ball. And then you can play them out. And not kicking the ball away, and then the next attack of Chelsea is there. And then all the free kicks. I don't think that all the faults were free kicks, but this referee gave them a lot of free kicks at the end of the game.
Is that what you were speaking to the fourth official about? It looked like you were very angry.
No, it was for the second time. The time was already over the 6 minutes, and then he let kick the corner. And then we had a free pitch for us, a lot of space. And then he whistles. And he did it also in the first half. Maybe you remember that. So I think you cannot do that. Otherwise, you don't let kick the corner, because the 6 minutes has been passed. So I don't think that that is fair. Fair to two teams.
What does the point mean to you now, given the Premier League table, when you look at it?
Yeah. When your aim is to be third or second or first, then you need to win because the gap is already big. And the gap is now bigger than before. So that's not good. I know that we have to play a very nasty away dual match against Chelsea. Of course, I shall say tomorrow to my players an fantastic performance till the last quarter. I have said it already. But we have to reward ourselves because it is not the first time that this is overcoming us.
You've made your feelings clear. Thank you, Louis.
Okay.
He certainly did. A frustrated Louis van Gaal. Alan Smith has come down and joined us in the studio. Your assessment of Man United today, Alan?
Well, much more like it, I thought. More like the United of old. We saw it against Stoke on Tuesday night. Full-backs getting on and just more adventure in the play. More exciting to watch if you're a Manchester United fan. And you can understand why van Gaal is upset because they put enough into that game, I thought, to have come away with 3 points. But, you know, Chelsea kept plugging away. Persistence paid off.
Do you sense his real anger and he was really upset about what happened at the end there, the way they gave the ball? Is that what he was talking about, the way they gave the ball away?
I think maybe, not maybe for sure, he's talking about Memphis Depay, the game is over, you're by the corner flag. I know you're trying to play, Schneiderlin made a run. But keep the ball, kill the game, go in the corner flag, pass the ball, waste time, and the game would have been over. And what happened on the other side, they conceded a goal.
Great. Do you not have sympathy with Depay, though? He's come off the bench, he's desperate to make an impression the way things have gone for him. He wanted to make something happen.
Yeah, but the best impression he could have made is to keep the ball and keep it on the side and hold it. His manager would have been happy, his fans would have been happy, and they would have...
It wasn't a difficult pass, actually. Schneiderlin was in acres of space, and it was an easy 15-yard pass to his left. Yeah.
Just keep it. Mm. Kill the time, go in the corner flag, no one would have said anything to you. But he didn't.
You see Schneiderlin there, Alan.
He didn't. And we all know what happened after. Yes, we talked about Daley Blind following John Terry, but you have to give also a lot of credit to Cesc Fabregas. And what is also annoying for me, look at Memphis Depay. He lost that ball and he's not really bothered about coming back. You just came on. That's the impression that we want to see. That's the type of thing that you impress your fans, you impress your boss. And Cesc, obviously, if you give him the time like that, he will find that pass. And John Terry, why is he there? We don't know. But because of that little movement, he made things happen.
Gambling, wasn't he? The fact is, though, we talk about United, they needed their goalkeeper, particularly in that second half, Alan. Two unbelievable saves.
Yeah, I mean, Courtois pulled off a stunner as well, didn't he, first half. But De Gea, as we know, is one of the world's very best. He's so agile. He's full of confidence and authority these days. He knows he's one of the best. And his reactions are second to none. We saw some fantastic saves today. And this one, this is a lovely little move from Fabregas, gives him a little shimmy, and that's heading for the top corner.
I'm actually trying to still figure out Ivanovic on his left foot kept that on target, but hey.
Oh, it was a great effort, wasn't it?
We saw a great save out of it.
This was lovely from Costa, wasn't it?
Is that the best of the lot, Alan?
See, we picked Mata for man of the match, we discussed it before.
That's not true. Jeff picked Lindon.
Jeff does know who the man of the match was. But it's an argument for De Gea again to be man of the match. You know, that's three outstanding saves. It would have been a Chelsea victory if not for him. Although Courtois made a great save from Martial in the first half. But going back to Man United, will be frustrated. They bossed the largest part of the game. They're 1-0 up and then they started to retreat. And Louis van Gaal was talking about discipline and composure. And what he means by that is you've got to keep the ball better. It's as if they retreated onto their 18-yard line and were just happy to clear the line and stay there. You know, it should have been clear your line, get out, get a bit of possession and play a bit of football. For the last 15, 20 minutes, they just didn't do that. Now, you can say, was that because of them being slightly negative and allowing themselves to be penned in there? Or was it because Chelsea upped the tempo and played a lot better? And I think the reality is somewhere in between. But give great credit to Chelsea. Weren't great today, still undefeated under Gus Hiddink. They upped the tempo a bit, should have determined not to lose that game today. And if you're a Chelsea supporter and player, you're thinking, because of that last 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we deserve to get something out of the game.
What about a Manchester United supporter right now, though? Because you talk about the frustrations of today. The fact is, they're 6 points off fourth still.
Yeah, I think if you're a Man United supporter, you'd be greatly encouraged by that. We've covered them several
times. That's a big gap, though, isn't it?
We've covered them several times, and that's the best I've seen Man United play this year. They actually look like a team this year. And they were playing our current champions. You know, this is not an easy place to come, no matter what you say, even this year. And Man United were fabulous today. They looked like a team.
I mean, a win today, it's 4 points, and they've got Man City in the sights, haven't they? They're thinking, we can chase you down here.
So where does this leave them? With just a point?
I mean, I agree with Graham. If you continue playing like that, they've got hope. They're going to hope that one of those boys in front of them can drop some points, and they'll still a lot of games to go, Ed, aren't there? But that is more like it from them, and more what the players actually picked in that team would expect to play like.
I think we've been saying for months now, it is a mystery, because Man United have a really good group of players, but for whatever reason, it wasn't happening for them. You know, was it the manager couldn't get his message across? Was he asking them to do something they weren't comfortable with? Was he asking them to be a little bit too negative? But today, they looked like a team that were let off the lead, and they played really well today.
The point leaves Chelsea 13th in the Premier League table. Gus Hiddink with Jeff Shreves.
Gus, did you deserve a point for battling right to the end?
Well, I think we deserved a point when we coldly, but that's not easy after a game, analysed the game. Then I think Man U started well. We dropped too far back, and I think the first, let's say 20 minutes, they were dominating us without having big chance, but big threat. And later on, we closed a little bit more in, and we got some chances in the first half as well. But second half was a little bit similar in the first minutes. And later on, they made a beautiful goal. Lingard made a beautiful goal without a good marking from our side, but beautiful goal. Afterwards, I think the team reacted very well and deserved at least this point, yeah.
John Terry feels that he should have had a penalty. Do you agree with him?
I haven't seen it yet, and I like to have a fair judgment. But OK, I follow my captain.
When you changed the substitutions, when you made your substitutions, what were you looking to change specifically?
Well, we had planned to bring in Aiden. You know, he's coming, Hazard, he's coming from injuries already weeks. We have built him up in the last weeks, and that's why we brought him. That was the plan, regardless the score, to bring him in, and then you have a threat with him, and I hope he will get his momentums now in the near future. And then, of course, then you take some more risk when you're 1-0 down, and then we start even better than we did. So then we get some more chances, but you have to be careful about the counter-attack.
Now, unfortunately, it looked like a bad injury to Kurt Zouma. Yeah. What can you tell us?
Yeah, tomorrow more. But if you have this injury, and everyone has seen it, I think, on the TV, that's a bad injury. But let's see. It's a hyperextension, and that's always bad. Some footballists, they have this feeling. I had the same problem once, and it hurts. It hurts very much. But let's hope and see tomorrow.
Potentially, how long could he be out for?
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but let's see tomorrow. Let's calm down a bit and see what the MRIs will show.
Well, we certainly wish him all the best.
Yeah.
Of course, that led to extra time being played. Louis van Gaal, unhappy, said referee played too much time. What would you say?
No, besides that incident, which I think lasts at least 5 to 6 minutes, at least, plus the normal time for changes, then I think we had all three changes. That makes 30 seconds of change. It's at least 4 or 5 times 30 seconds, plus the 5 or 6 minutes is even should be 8 minutes.
It's another draw at home, but because you equalise so late on in the game, do you actually come away from this quite happy?
Yeah, of course, but I'm happy with the reaction of the team. Normally, it's not easy because I think Man U did a good job in the first half. What I said, second half starting, and it's not an easy team to beat. And we're happy to have this reaction of the team.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll find out more about Kurt Zouma's injury clearly tomorrow. We wish him well, hopefully. That'll be some good news. Alan, I'm sure you heard the interview with his central defensive partner, the skipper John Terry, a few moments ago. What did you make of that and his future and the fact that he says there's no communication between the two?
Yeah, well, he's clearly upset, and you can understand why. I'm mystified, like the boys are, and I think all Chelsea fans are inside this ground today. It must be. I think it's been mentioned already. Well, there's a possibility the new manager has already been secured and he's given his wishes to the club. He doesn't want John Terry there for whatever reason. I don't know. Listen, the club have already awarded Branislav Ivanovic a one-year contract. They haven't needed a manager to give the go-ahead on that. And they've awarded plenty of contracts down the years over and above the manager's say-so. So they don't necessarily need a manager to extend a player's contract. So I don't know, but it would seem crazy to me to let a player go. Yes, he's 35, but he's still got 1 or 2 years at the top left. So what's behind it? I'm sure we'll find out in the next few months, but I don't think it's a good move. He might still sign. I mean, I don't think he's going to have the hump, John, and say, well, you didn't offer it me in February, so I'm not going to sign it in May. I think he would definitely sign if it was offered. So it's redeemable, the situation.
That story will continue to develop. Next on Super Sunday, action and reaction from the game earlier today, Bournemouth against Arsenal.
Arsenal, was that a response and a win you needed more than most?
Yeah, you said to me before the game, it's a must-win game. It was, because we had not won for a while, and so we started strong. And after that, you could see that our worry was to keep the result and that the confidence was not completely at its maximum. But sometimes you have to scrap through games like that and get the 3 points.
Eddie, a close game for the most part. What settled it in their favour?
I think the quality that they've got in the front positions. Early in the game, we found it difficult to get pressure on the ball and to really influence their possession. And ultimately, on the back of that possession, they scored 2 goals.
I wanted to ask you about a challenge at 0-0 from Matteo Flamini on Dan Gosling. Obviously, would have changed the game totally. Looked off the ground, looked two-footed, got the ball. But what was your view?
Look, honestly, live, I thought it was foul for us. But
really?
Yes, but because I thought he was first on the ball. Was his foot high? Certainly, because the referee gave that. But was it a red card? I think it would have been a bit harsh.
I thought it was a red. I had a very good view. It looked like it was two-footed and potentially off the floor. I've only seen it live, but my initial view was definite red card.
Well, I was focused on the ball. We went together to compete, and I think I took the ball and a good decision for the referee.
It was definitely two-footed. You know, the referee, I feel, should give him a red, really. But you know, that's the way it goes in football, and you know, it's disappointing. But you know, it's disappointing for my performance in the first half, really.
Just clear up, no intention to hurt, of course.
Definitely not. We both went for the ball, and even after the contact, we talked to each other, and I mean, it's Premier League here.
Overall, is it a performance, an effort that shouldn't dent confidence too much against a top team?
Very much so. I think that's my message after the game, that we have to take into account who we're playing. We have to analyse what we've done wrong and things we can work on, but put it to the back of our minds and focus on the next one.
How does this set it up for next week?
It's, as you said, another must-win game, and we play at home. We'll have our fans behind us, and of course it's we play now against one of the favourites of the Premier League.
Who's favourites for that game? Obviously, we would normally say Arsenal, but
favourite doesn't great meaning. It's the only thing you can say. It's a big game, a very important one for the Premiership as well. It's an important weekend for the Premiership because the big games next week, and so let's prepare and win it.
Well, again, that's going to be live on Super Sunday. Your two teams, both in the right in the thick of the title
race.
Yeah, a
little bit.
Alan, let's talk about Arsenal first. Where does it leave them? What do you make of their predicament right now?
Well, it's less of a predicament. I mean, they had to win, didn't they, today? They had to win after the 4 games that they've endured, when confidence seemed to be draining away and self-belief. You know, Arsene Wenger even mentioned it. So, 3 points today. Move on to Leicester. Beat Leicester. Back in the ball game, you know. The bookies start revising their odds again. And the players begin to feel more confident. Cockerham back in. Wilshere's training. So, it begins to look more encouraging. Still a question mark about their belief in these circumstances. Are they strong enough mentally to keep on pushing? But I mean, listen, if Leicester were to win it, what an indictment of Arsenal over the last few years that would be. Leicester having shown the steel and determination, not as much talent as Arsenal, to go on and get over the finishing line.
I mean, if I had said to you that Chelsea will struggle, Man City will struggle, you would have automatically thought that it would have been a season that Arsenal is going to walk away with it easily. And it's not happening. And I will question also the mentality of it. The game against Chelsea at home, you didn't score a goal against Chelsea for 5 games or something like that. You didn't beat Chelsea for 8 games. And then the atmosphere at the stadium was the 10 years of Theo Walcott, and it almost felt like a charity testimonial type of game. there's a game that you need to win. 3 points. And after that game, they went on...
You're talking about the changing of the armband and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, the armband. You're there to win the game. You're there. It is business. You don't win the league for a very long time. Can you win it? It's time to wake up and do it. There is an opportunity. Arsene just said that one of the team, Leicester, to win it. At the moment, for me, they are the team to win it. Not only that they showed that they can win it, they're showing that they can cope with the pressure. They're top of the league. They go to Manchester City and win the game 3-1. And easily as well. It could have been 4, it could have been 5. And they don't show like they're nervous. And we see a good desire. They want to grab it. It's the only team for me that I've seen.
I'll tell you what, Thierry, we'll come to those Leicester goals in just a second. I just quickly, Graham, want to ask you about Bournemouth, your local side. Are they going to be OK?
I think so. I think they've got enough football. Just got Adobe, the striker.
Yeah, Phobie.
So,
Benik Afobe.
Afobe.
Yeah.
So I think they've got enough goals. Callum Wilson was an enormous loss to them. I think they play enough football. It's wrong to compare them with Arsenal today, because Arsenal are a team that should be knocking on the door and almost winning this competition. I think they've got more than enough to stay up, and I think they've had their difficult period where they were playing well and getting nothing from games, and the manager still managed to keep their heads up and still play the football, and I think they'll be fine.
Leicester then, yesterday, the goals you referred to. As you see these goals, the headlines everywhere, they're now favourites to win the Premier League. Is it right that they're now favourites?
Well, of course it is. You know, you beat Liverpool at home in fine style, then a few days later, you go to the Etihad and do this to, what were they, title favourites before this match? They absolutely wiped the floor with City. I mean, Manchester City deserve a lot of criticism for the lack of fight, I thought, they showed in the second half to try and get back into it. They don't look a team that's together at all. I thought the Guardiola signing would have really given them a kick up the backside, but it's gone the other way, it seems to me.
Do you think that would boost that group of players, the fact that the manager...
Well, they're all on trial, aren't they?
They are, well, good.
They're all on trial, surely. I thought that would have helped them.
Also, Leicester won at the Lane, they won at Tottenham too. A goal from Oath, I think, Eder. There is something also that I wanted to mention. I didn't see the game yesterday, unfortunately, so the last 15 minutes, I think, I was busy doing something with the under-18. A guy walked in the office and said to me, Leicester are winning 3-0. I didn't even challenge him. I just said, who scored?
Weren't even surprised.
I just said, who scored? And that says a lot. Back in the days, I would have said, come on, give me the result or whatever. I just said, who scored? And the thing is that the surprising thing, it's not a surprise anymore. It is normal what Leicester are doing, and they deserve it.
And I think that was the best they have actually played. They've played well this season, but I think that was their best performance. You'd say something at this stage.
With freedom. They're the team that are not playing with any great expectation on their shoulders. You know, they're a team that are not expected to be up there.
Does that not kick in at some point? At some point, you know...
Well, it's not yet, has it?
Yeah. No sign yet, but will it? 13 to go.
Well, I think it would happen if there were, you know... It was in their destiny. If they had 3 games to go and they needed to win a couple of them or one of them, you might say a wee bit then. But right now, they're showing zero signs of any nervousness. Can I just, I don't even want to talk about Leicester. Go back to Man City's situation. The Man City situation, whether Pep Guardiola wanted it announced or whether it was forced on through other different circumstances, but announcing that the manager's going at the start of February isn't a good thing. It can't be a good thing. And that wouldn't surprise me if City fall away now. I mean,
is it worse than the speculation that would have happened if they hadn't announced it?
Well, the speculation was there, wasn't it? It's been there for years. That poor Pellegrini's lived with it for a couple of years. And I don't know, there'll be elements in that dressing room that can't be happy because they're not playing all the time. So for him to go, they'll be rejoicing in that, quietly. But they'll have an influence. And it's just not a healthy situation. It's not something we're used to in this country.
I agree with that one, but where I disagree is I think Jupp Heynckes left Bayern Munich. We knew he was going to retire and we knew Pep was going to take the job. And they went on to win the treble. Different circumstances,
different
because they were already on the run. But I think you have a job to do. Whoever is going to come or not come next year, you have a job to do and you need to perform. And the way they played against Leicester was on the top
but
of
does that not
of
tell you something, though?
They've had some see. Poor performances this season, haven't they, yes. City? They've managed to stay up there. But you think the way Liverpool took them to task at the Etihad.
You're playing against a team that are your biggest rivals. You defeat them on Saturday, you know, you're then touching distance, a couple of points behind them. If that motivation, it wasn't just any team they were playing, it was Leicester, the team that they know if they're going to win it, they have to do the business on that day. in there without any passion or any fight. That I think that's.
Do you put
disturbing.
That down to the management thing?
No,
though,
I'm saying it will not have helped. Mm. At no level can that have helped the situation on Saturday.
But Ed, going back to Leicester, we said almost, I would say, 6 or 7 weeks ago, we will find out about them because they had a very difficult run. Mm. We will see where they're at. They answered. Not only they answered, they asked questions.
Look at this then, Thierry. What
can
now
you, can you match us? Now Arsenal away. If they pass that, I would like to think that they're going to be in a very good shape to carry on what they're doing.
Look at the games to follow.
They're not easy in this league, as we know, but still, Norwich at home, West Brom, Watford away, Newcastle, Crystal Palace, they're very winnable games.
The King Power Stadium's an amazing place now for those Leicester players. It is the noisiest stadium in the Premier League, in my experience this season. That's a 12th man almost.
Is this make or break then, this first game we've got on Super Sunday next weekend, particularly for Arsenal,
what
really?
What a game, yeah. What a game it's going to be. I mean, I think Arsenal need to win it. I think Leicester don't need to win it.
Nope.
You know, Leicester could draw it, conceivably lose.
That's going to match the way they actually play. Sit and counter, a lot of space for Vardy to run into. Long ball from Mahrez is going to be very good for them. And especially the run of game that Arsenal have away from home, they better win this one at home.
Set up beautifully, isn't it, Graham?
Yeah, I come back to it. I'm as amazed as anyone. I'm from November, December, you're expecting Leicester to drop off the pace. You know, they don't have the biggest squad. The way they play football, I think their stat is they give the ball away more than any other team, which means you have to work hard to get it back, spending a lot of energy. I think I was like everyone else. I'm amazed. But I'll go back to last year. If you remember Leicester last year, I never saw them involved in a bad game last year. You're watching them, they would lose or they would draw, and you're thinking, God, I enjoyed that game. And this year they've turned those draws and losses into wins.
It's brilliant.
Fair play.
Enjoy Sky Sports Live. On all screens, on the go, and the best bits on demand.